The Watson Weekly podcast is sponsored by Avalara, the agentic AI platform automating global tax and compliance for leading e-commerce brands. Go to avaleratax.watsonweekly.com for more details. It's April 27th, 2026, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, the Cook era ends as Apple announces new CEO. 5 gigawatts and $100 billion deal with Amazon Web Services. The $17 billion question, QXO acquires TopBuild. And remembering John Pinella. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains 5 items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, the Cook era ends. Tim Cook is stepping down. After 15 years, one of the greatest CEO runs in corporate history ends this September. Here's what happens. On April 20th, Apple announced that Cook will become executive chairman on September 1st. John Ternus, a 25-year Apple veteran currently running hardware engineering, takes over as CEO. The board approved it unanimously. Cook stays through the summer for the handoff, then shifts to board-level work and engaging with policymakers around the world. Johnny Cerugi also gets elevated to chief hardware officer on the same day, which frees Ternus from the day-to-day work of the hardware stack. Cook became CEO 6 weeks before Steve Jobs died in 2011. Remember that? Since then, Apple's market cap went from roughly $300 billion to $4 trillion. Revenue nearly quadrupled to $416 billion last year. Services, which was a rounding error when he started, is now a $100 billion business on its own. The installed base is 2.5 billion devices. By pure financial metrics, one of the best CEO runs in corporate history. The story does have some tension, though, in I think 3 big areas. One is the App Store. Does a 30% cut still make sense in 2026? And doesn't make as much sense as it did in 2008. By 2011, even Phil Schiller was internally asking whether it should and could come down, but it didn't. Now services drives 41% of Apple's profit, which is great for shareholders, but it's rougher on the developer ecosystem that Apple depends on. Second is China. Cook built the greatest supply chain in history, but he built it in China, transferring manufacturing expertise into the country along the way. That powered a lot of numbers, and during the pandemic and a lot of the stuff that happened with China recently, quite a bit of manufacturing also moved to India, and there are a lot of noises moving back to the US. How will that shake out? And third, you always know we have to talk about AI. Apple sat out the AI infrastructure build-out, and when the new Siri finally launches, I predict it will be terrible. It will be running Google's Gemini underneath. Apple calls it a stopgap, and skeptics think it's the moment quietly outsourced its AI future. So Ternus takes over at a financial peak. The iPhone is selling well, even if phone sales are still slowing. The Mac is having its best moment in decades, thanks to Apple Silicon, and something that Ternus had a big part in. Services keeps growing, but he also inherits the China exposure and the AI question. These are problems Cook didn't solve yet. Cook does leave a balance sheet that is literally untouchable, and whether his legacy is building a platform for the next 50 years or optimizing one era very well that he left a few things for his successor, that kind of depends entirely on what the CEO does next. Our second story, 5 gigawatts and $100 billion deal with Amazon Web Services. Today, we're unpacking one of the biggest chapters in the AI infrastructure arms race, a deal announced between Anthropic and Amazon that reshapes how the industry thinks. The headline is that Anthropic is committing more than $100 billion over the next 10 years to run on Amazon Web Services. In return, Anthropic secures up to 5 gigawatts of new compute capacity to train and run Claude. And for context, 5 gigawatts is enough electricity to power several million homes. And all of it is pointed at a single AI company. Amazon isn't just selling the compute. Also, they're putting more money into Anthropic. Amazon is investing another $5 billion today, with up to $20 billion more tied to commercial milestones, on top of the $8 billion they already put in. That's a potential total of $33 billion. So what's Anthropic actually buying with that $100 billion? Capacity on Amazon's custom-built chips, Trainium 2, Trainium 3, and the upcoming Trainium 4, plus tens of millions of Graviton CPU cores. Significant new capacity comes online this quarter, with nearly a full gigawatt running by the end of 2026. Anthropic and Amazon's chip team and Aperna Labs are reportedly in contact almost daily, with Anthropic's feedback shaping the design of next-generation chips. Now, why does Anthropic need all this? Their growth is unprecedented. In 2022, Anthropic had about $10 million in revenue. By the end of 2023, $100 million. By the end of December 2024, $1 billion. And by the end of last year, $9 billion. As of this April, they all have over a $30 billion run rate, more than triple in just 4 months. Over 100,000 organizations are building on Claude through Amazon Bedrock. Customer usage across their free, pro, and max tiers has been straining performance during peak hours. Anthropic basically said the quiet part out loud in their announcement: reliability has suffered and they need more compute fast. If you've ever been to Anthropic's company status page, it looks like a rainbow when everything should stay green there. The deal also does a couple of other things worth flagging. First, Claude's full developer platform is coming directly into AWS, the same account, the same billing, currently in private beta. Could this be the prelude to an acquisition? Second, inference capacity is expanding into Asia and Europe to serve international customers better. So, in terms of the takeaway, Anthropic doubling down on Amazon as the primary cloud partner, even as it keeps Claude available on Google Cloud and Microsoft Azure. This is also a bet that the winners in frontier AI will be determined as much by access to custom silicon and gigawatts of power as by the models themselves. Our third story: the $17 billion question, QXO acquires Top Build. Brad Jacobs just spent $17 billion on insulation. And if that sentence doesn't make you sit up, it should, because really it's not about insulation at all. We're actually talking about the QXO Top Build deal. This was announced last Sunday night, closes in Q3, and in my view, this is one of the more important M&A stories of the year that nobody is really talking about. QXO, the company that founder Brad Jacobs basically built out of nothing 18 months ago, is acquiring Top Build for roughly $17 billion, $505 a share, 23% premium, 45% cash, 55% stock. When it closes, QXO becomes the second largest publicly traded building products distributor in North America. The combined revenue is north of $18 billion, EBITDA north of $2 billion. Only Ferguson is bigger. And of course, here's what I want you to hear. This is Jacob's third acquisition in 11 months. Beacon Roofing, $11 billion. Kodiak Building Partners, $2.25 billion. Closed 3 weeks ago. Now Top Build, that's over $30 billion in announced M&A in under a year in an industry most investors couldn't even find. And you've watched the career of the CEO, you already know the movie. Pick a boring, fragmented, capital-intensive industry, consolidate it fast, squeeze out the synergies, layer on technologies, and repeat. Building products distribution fits that description perfectly, and it's a $300 billion addressable market running on 1990s-era technology. The whole investment thesis is that this industry is a technology desert. Now, in terms of what I think a lot of the coverage is missing, Top Build isn't just a distributor, it actually installs insulation. That's labor, relationships, and recurring project revenue. And insulation, exactly what the AI data center build-out needs at industrial scale. And QXO flagged that exposure explicitly. So it's not just a roofing roll-up story, it's also a picks and shovels play on the physical infrastructure behind the AI boom. And if you read it that way, things start to make a lot more sense very quickly. The next things I'm watching here are integration. Now you have three companies to absorb. Antitrust, is that going to be looked at? And the pace, because Jacobs called TopBuild his most significant acquisition yet. You know, he did use that word, yet. In terms of building supplies, Ferguson has been number one for a generation. QXO just told us the market is coming, so don't look away here. And our last story, remembering John Pinella. Today, we're remembering a friend. John Pinella, Group Vice President at Publicis Sapient, Chairman of the Mock Alliance, and to many of us in the industry, something much harder to put on a business card, mentor, connector, and gentleman. Last week, I was joined by Kelly Gage, President Pipe 17, Jeff O, Growth Leader Commerce, Publicis Sapient, Jason Retail Geek Goldberg, Chief Commerce Strategy Officer at Publicis, Giancarlo Anania, Senior Director and Global Strategic Alliances in GTM, Partner and Ecosystem Strategy, and Octavio Delgado to discuss the life of John Pinella. And I want to share what they told me because the portrait that emerged says a lot about John and honestly, a lot about the kind of industry we could be and like to be. The first word that came up again and again was mentor. Giancarlo put it simply, John led by example. He didn't lecture you on how to do work, he showed you. And whenever he had a win, his first instinct was to pull other people into it. He wanted you in the room. Jeff told us that 15 years ago, when he was brand new to commerce and nobody was returning his calls, John was the one person who offered an open arm. He sat with Jeff's team, helped them sharpen the product, helped them figure out what they were even trying to say. Of course, he didn't owe them a minute, but he gave them hours. The part that really gets me, and Jason Goldberg was interesting and he pointed this out, John did that for his competitors too. In an industry that can be pretty elbows out here, he was almost irrationally generous with his expertise and friendship. Octavio described John's leadership as Socratic. He asked questions, listened, floated hypotheses instead of handing down verdicts. And you left every conversation with John feeling smarter and feeling heard. Kelly Gage called him one of the best information brokers that the industry had. A super connector. John knew everyone, and I mean everyone, personally and professionally. Walking a trade show floor with him was an event on its own. You couldn't get 20 feet without smiles, hugs, people lighting up when they saw him coming. And as chairman of the Mock Alliance, he could advocate the most controversial idea in the room and somehow leave everyone in it still feeling respected. Kelly called him a real old-school gentleman, one person who really cared about you. He loved his people fiercely, his wife Linda, often right there beside him at events, his daughter Rachel, who he bragged about constantly, and, we have to say it, the Pittsburgh Steelers. John won his industry fantasy football league in 2022 and never let us forget it. And, of course, as part of the podcast, I asked the same closing question. How do we carry John forward? And the answers kind of rhymed. More kindness, less hurry, asking more questions, and listening harder. Tell the people in your life that you appreciate them. Actually say it and mean it. Be the open arm for someone new. Be generous even with your competitors, and maybe especially with your competitors. John Pinella, mentor, connector, gentleman. We'll miss you, my friend, and we'll carry it forward. Look for the interview podcast that we released just last week. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. First, Instacart announced it had acquired InstaLeap for an undisclosed price. Second, Amazon announced it plans to acquire a satellite network and radio frequency operator Globalstar for $11.6 billion. Amazon seems obsessed with LEOs. Third, Replenit announced it has raised $2.5 million in pre-seed funding for real-time retail decision-making. Fourth, Mira Voice, the AI interviewer for phone surveys, has raised $6 million in seed funding. And finally, Tiger Global has reportedly invested in pop-up bagels at a $300 million valuation. These are pretty good bagels, but that's a lot of dollars. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. I write a newsletter, which you can also subscribe to at watsonweekly.com, where you can find the podcast there also.